Well, folks, we get excited about our Missions Sundays, and sometimes we just think, you know what, we just don't have enough of these. But we're always excited because we get to bring individuals in who give us different perspectives on the things that are happening out there and the ways that we can impact society and the communities around us and in us. And so today, we have a special group of people because today we have a couple that not only are celebrating their anniversary, but are also doing great things for the Lord. And so we're excited to bring them back again. If you say, I recognize their smiling faces, they have been here before to give us report and to give us understanding of what's going on out in the missions field. Please welcome and put your hands together for our guests today, Chuck and Wilma Lormas, Missions Cultivators.
Well, we are excited to be here. Last time we were here, we've been around a lot of places. We've been to New Mexico. We took a team there to remodel a parsonage on a Navajo reservation. And we've also been to West Virginia, Pennsylvania, and Maryland, working with different churches out there. We just returned about, 10:30 last night from Milwaukee. We led a team of business women to do an outreach in inner city Milwaukee, and that was a lot of fun. And so now today we're here. This evening we'll be in Chicago, and by the end of this week we'll be back in West Virginia. So we get around a little bit, but it's good to be here. We are what's termed missions cultivators because we help churches develop missions. We help we go into churches of any size, large or small, and we work with them to build up missions in the local church, in any area of missions. And so we're just excited to be here.
The Lord actually brought us together about, 4 years ago. We celebrated our fourth anniversary, the fifth. And God brought us together. He was a career pastor. I was a career missionary. We said, God, what is this going to look like for those of you who weren't here last time? And that's what the Lord birthed in our hearts, is doing missions cultivation. So helping churches and individuals begin to think beyond themselves and begin to outreach into their communities and around the world. And so it's been a privilege and a joy. It's been a fun journey. We're actually looking forward to going to Turkey. We're going to be going to the country of Turkey in January and February to fill in for some missionaries for a couple of weeks. And so that's fun. And in the meantime, we just continue to help strengthen churches wherever we go. So this morning, we would like to share the word with you. Today we're going to talk about the importance of prayer and prayer for missions, for mission, and for missionaries. And so that's what we want to share with you today. So just have your Bibles ready, and we're going to tag team preach as we usually do because we both like to preach. So here you go. God bless you. We're excited to be here. Oh, before I forget, we do have a sign-up sheet on the back if you'd like to get our bi-monthly email updates of what we're doing and how you can pray for us. We also have prayer cards in the back there too, so we'll be back there at the end of the service and be happy to give you one if you don't have one already. Thanks.
So if you have your Bibles, we're in Acts chapter 13. Something we realize even more and more every day is the need for prayer. And so as the pastor announced, you got prayer on Monday night. Don't forget to pray for your missionaries. Missionaries need a lot of prayer. All the missionaries that we know, they all need prayer. And when I look in the mirror, I say the same thing. So anyway, Acts chapter 13, I want to read verses 2 and 3. While they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, "Set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them." So after they had fasted and prayed, they placed their hands on them and they sent them off. This morning, well, let's just take a moment and pray before we get into this message. Lord, thank you for the privilege of sharing your word. We thank you, God, for all that you're doing. Lord, we look around and even though we see the chaos of our country and the chaos of our world, at the same time, we see the hand of God moving in various places and various situations, Lord, and we thank you for that. We thank you for every life that you touch. We thank you, Lord, for every heart that is changed. And Lord, we ask you to minister to us today, Lord, as the word goes forth, that it will find a fertile soil in our hearts, that we might better serve you. Thank you in Jesus' name. Missions begins with prayer. It's sustained with prayer. Missions is a partnership between the missionaries and the church. When Paul and Barnabas were sent out, they were sent out by the church. And before they were sent out, they laid hands on them and they prayed over them. And the Spirit had led the church to send these two individuals out as a team to go out and minister the Word of God, to witness to people, to share the gospel, and to see souls saved and churches established. But the church is the sending agency. They first sent them out in prayer. But our prayers don't end when the missionary is sent out. That's just the beginning of the role that the church plays in missions. The church forms a lifeline to the missionaries in prayer. If you ask any missionary what's the most important need that they have, they will tell you without a doubt, prayer. Without a doubt. Now, we all know that missionaries need money too, and that's also true. But every missionary I've ever talked to has said the thing that they need the most is prayer. Prayer is the lifeline between the missionary and the church. The importance of prayer in the church for missions and missionaries can't be overlooked, and it must not be overlooked if we're going to fulfill the Great Commission. The first thing we need to do is pray for more missionaries. Jesus himself in Matthew chapter 9, he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into the harvest field." These are missionaries. We have a world that is dying without Christ. We need more workers in the fields. The United States leads the world in sending out missionaries. We are number one in sending out missionaries. But right now, we're the third largest mission field in the world. Other countries are sending missionaries here because of the situation in the United States. We've become a country that is filled with corruption and sin. And it's crept into so many areas of our society. And not just politics. We all talk about corruption in politics. That's been there forever. But there's so much other corruption. It's even creeping into the church world, where good is being called evil and evil is being called good in God's house. And there are those that struggle with what is right and what is wrong, because there's not a clear definition of what is right and wrong, because the church has clouded the issue. The church as a whole has clouded the issue by changing their doctrinal positions on things. The biblical principles that were once pretty much universals are no longer that way in much of the church world. The things that we used to stand for, not so much anymore, because so many churches have changed their doctrine to become more relevant and more seeker-friendly and to try to build up their own church and their own ministry rather than preaching the gospel the way it's written and allowing the Holy Spirit to change lives. We need more missionaries, and we need them now. In John chapter 4, Jesus said, "Don't you have a saying that it's still 4 months until the harvest? I tell you, open your eyes and look at the fields. They are ripe for harvest." I guess that's an appropriate verse for now, because the fields are pretty much ripe for harvest. And we need to realize that spiritually that is the case, that the fields are ripe for harvest. The time is now. And we have to pray that God sends out more missionaries into the fields. And, you know, it doesn't just have to be people that make their vocation missionary. It can be anybody. It can be people going into the school systems. It can be people going into the factories. It can be people going to the farms. Wherever it is, we all become missionaries. We are all bearers of the gospel of Jesus Christ. If Jesus is our Savior, we are His missionary to our part of this world. And we need to pray that God will send us out as well to the places where we go, to the people that we work with, to those that we cross paths with daily. Those of you in school, to your fellow students. God needs more missionaries. He needs them now.
So we can pray for more laborers. The second thing we can do is we can pray for boldness. In Acts 4:29, it says, "Now, Lord, consider their threats and enable your servants to speak your word with great boldness." In Ephesians 6:19-20, it says, "Pray also for me, that whenever I speak, words may be given me, so that I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel for which I am in chains. Pray that I will declare it fearlessly as I should." You know, Christians remain one of the most persecuted religions in the world. While Christian persecution takes many forms, it's defined as hostility experienced as a result of identification with Christ. Christian torture remains an issue for believers throughout the world, including the risk of imprisonment, loss of homes, assets, physical torture, beheadings, rapes, and even death as a result of people standing up for their faith. Trends show that countries in Africa, Asia, and the Middle East are intensifying with persecution against Christians. And perhaps the most vulnerable are Christian women, who are often have doubly being persecuted because of their gender and their faith. Every day we receive news reports in the world of those who face threats, unjust imprisonment, harassment, beatings, and even loss of family because of their faith in Jesus Christ. And sometimes it can be overwhelming. I don't know about you. Sometimes if you hear the news and if you see things on Facebook, and sometimes it can just be overwhelming. Like, Lord, I can't carry this. He doesn't expect us to carry it. He expects us to place it at his feet and lift it up in prayer, because we can't carry this. It is so heavy. But God just wants us to be that tool, that catalyst, to just lay it at his feet and lift our brothers and sisters up. We need to pray for our brothers and sisters around the world, the persecuted church, and those missionaries who work with them into these difficult places, who willingly choose to go. A few ways we can pray for them is that they would have boldness, that they would be bold to continue to share their faith, for them to have hope that even in the midst of some of these very challenging situations and circumstances, they can have hope in the gospel and hope in the fact that one day we will be delivered, whether it's here on this earth or when Jesus takes us up into heaven. And that the Holy Spirit will strengthen them and enable them to love their enemies. I don't know about you, but sometimes it's hard for me to love even those that I love, you know? And so I think loving your enemy is truly a supernatural thing. So that we pray for them, that God will enable them to love their enemies, those that are persecuting them. And for us, that God will enable us to supernaturally love those who are criticizing us at work, maybe because of we're standing up for our faith, or those that just are constantly putting you down or making fun of you because of your faith. May God help us to ask the Holy Spirit to help us love them supernaturally, because it is beyond ourselves, isn't it? It's only him who can enable us to do that. But we can pray that God will help us do that. Right here for us in the United States, many have believed the cultural lie that we don't talk about religion and politics. More and more pressure is being put on anyone that confesses any opposing views to political correctness. Romans 10, 14 and 15 says, "How then can they call on the one they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one in whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? And how can anyone preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them who bring good news." We need to ask Jesus. We need to pray and ask him to make us bolder, that we will be his light bearers wherever he has placed us. As Chuck said, in the workplace, in school, in our communities, with our neighbors, with our families, that God will make us bolder to share our faith and to stand up for what we believe in. If we believe the message of the gospel, then we need to share it. We truly do have the hope of the world. Are we sharing it? We need to ask the Holy Spirit to make us bolder.
We also need to pray for the gospel message to be spread. Wherever we go, we take a message with us. And throughout this past year, we've been in a number of different situations where the message stayed the same, but the way that it was presented became different. For instance, when we were in New Mexico, we went out there because the Navajo church we were working with had a parsonage that was unfit for anyone to live in. The outside of the building was brick. It was solid. The inside of the building needed a bulldozer. It was in that bad a condition. The wiring was 100 years old. The plumbing was just as old. The insulation was falling out of the walls. It was terrible. And so we took a team out there and spent 2 weeks, and we gutted the building. All new wiring, all new plumbing, all new insulation, new drywall, new doors, everything. And in order to make that livable once again. That was part of our message to that church, was to help them get to a place where they could now bring in a pastor to live in that home. And so the message, while it wasn't spoken, the message was the message of Jesus Christ reaching out to help, to minister to people. Now, while we were there, we also had services. We preached. People got saved. That was exciting. And even that was interesting because we don't speak Navajo. You know, fortunately, they understood English, but I don't know how we would have done if they would have expected us to preach in Navajo. But to pray that the gospel message is spread. When we were in Milwaukee just yesterday, we were sharing the love of Christ, working with a ministry called City on a Hill, which is a ministry that's housed in an old hospital. And they do all kinds of stuff in the inner city of Milwaukee. They reach out. They have free healthcare clinics, and they have a free after-school program. Everything is free to the people because the average income in that part of Milwaukee is $9,500 a year. And so people can't afford anything, so they offer everything free. They partner with doctors and dentists and podiatrists and whoever else, and they come in on a volunteer basis, and they do a health clinic every month. And they partner with other organizations to be able to do a food program, to be able to feed kids in their after-school program. And all of that is spreading the message of the love of God. Now, they share the gospel with these people as they minister to them. And as we walk the neighborhoods around that City on a Hill Center, we walk the neighborhoods and we just shared the love of Jesus. We handed out different items, toilet paper, shampoo, cleaning materials, whatever families had need of, we just gave it to them. And we gave it to them in the name of Jesus and sharing the love of Jesus. It's important that we realize that the message has to be spread, and it's not just spread with the spoken word. It's spread by our actions, because sometimes our actions speak a whole lot louder than our words. And we realize the need to spread the message of the gospel. Paul said in 2 Thessalonians 3 and verse 1, "As for other matters, brothers and sisters, pray for us that the message of the Lord may be spread rapidly and be honored, just as it was with you." And he said in Colossians 4 and verses 3 and 4, "And pray for us too, that God may open a door for our message, so that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ, for which I am in chains. Pray that I may proclaim it clearly as I should." Even in chains, Paul's praying that his message would be proclaimed, realizing that our situations are not binding to us, that no matter what situation we are in our lives, the message stays the same, and the message must be proclaimed. And the realization that we are the message bearers. We share it with our words. We share it with our actions. We share it with the things that we do and the places that we go. We share. Missionaries are going all over the world, but there are still unreached places. And even in countries that are being reached with the gospel, there are unreached people groups that still haven't heard the gospel. Here in the United States, they have identified at least 94 unreached people groups. Right here in our own country, there's over 7,000 unreached people groups in the world. But at least 94 are right here in the United States. Then there are the homeless, the LGBTQ population, those bound by drugs and alcohol. The list goes on and on and on. And then there are those who are trapped by false religions, who have not been told of the freedom that comes in Christ. And missionaries, both at home and abroad, are always looking for opportunities to spread the gospel. There are places in this world where there's an average of one missionary for every 2 million people. That's a staggering statistic when you think about it. But there are places in the world where that's the ratio. Here in America, we have a lot of preachers. You know, we probably are blessed with more preachers than we need. Oh, did I say that out loud? Oh, sorry. But the realization is we are so blessed in this country. And yet there are places in the world that are starving for the gospel message. And they're starving for missionaries to come and bring the message to them. The church has a tremendous opportunity to pray for open doors, for the message of Christ to be taken to places and to people where it's never gone before. And we have to realize that God will act when we pray. We have not because we ask not. So we get to ask. We need to ask so that the message can go forth and touch lives like never before. We can dwell on the negatives. We can dwell on the conditions of our country. We can dwell on the conditions of our school system. We can dwell on anything we want to dwell on. That's the way we tend to do. Or we can turn that around and turn those chaotic situations, those corrupted situations, whatever they are, into opportunities. And realize that where the situation is the darkest, the light will shine the brightest. If you've ever walked into a room that was totally dark and lit a match, well, that match made a difference in that darkness. And if you have a multitude of matches, you ever been in a service where they had people, even nowadays we don't use matches anymore, we just have people pull out their cell phones and turn the light on. And we're technologically advanced, you know. But when everybody does that, we've done services on New Year's Eve where at midnight everybody turned the light on their phone and it just lit up the room. The message being that we all have a message to share. We all have the opportunity to share it. And the more we shine our light, the greater the light becomes. We are the light bearers. We bear the light of the gospel. And so we pray for open doors so that our message will go forth all around us into all the different places where our lives touch. Think about the places where you go on a daily basis or on a weekly basis. Think about all the different places that you go, whether it's to the grocery store or Walmart or whether it's the post office or the bank, wherever. Every place you go, you carry with you the light of the gospel. How powerful would it be if every believer began to pray, God, every place I go today, let me be your light. Every place I go today, let me shine your light. It'd be a tremendous thing. We pray for open doors for the message of the gospel to be sent out.
And then lastly, we want to pray for protection of our missionaries. In 2 Thessalonians 3:2, it says, "And pray that we will be delivered from wicked and evil people, for not everyone has faith." If you watch or listen to the news on almost a daily basis, as we said, we can see examples of wickedness. We can see examples of evil in our world, from suicide bombings in the Middle East to the MS-13 gang activity right here in the United States. We hear of natural disasters, of hurricanes, which we just saw go on the East Coast here, of the tsunamis, of tornadoes, of earthquakes. They're just everywhere. So praying for protection for our pastors and for our missionaries and families, it's imperative. When I was serving in the country of Madagascar, my family and I, we were out, and I would take my kids to school in the morning. It was a normal thing. It was about a 45-minute trek. It really wasn't that far distance-wise, but there were people on carts and cows, and it was just very congested. And so I would drop my girls off at school, and then I would go about my errands for the day and go home usually. And this day I had a whole day of errands, and I was going to just drop them off. And so I did. I dropped them off at school and started running my errands. And man, I was getting things done really quickly. And I remember thinking, there's not very many people in town today. I'm going to get stuff done and be able to go home before I pick up the girls. And so I went to the bank and exchanged some money. I went and got my groceries. I got some different things we needed. And my last thing that I was going to do was go and purchase a ticket for a ministry trip that we had, an upcoming trip. So I went into the travel agent. I locked my car, of course, as I always do. Went in, bought our tickets, came out, and my door was ajar. So that wasn't a good thing, because I know I had locked it when I went in. Well, sadly, someone had come and stolen all of my progress for that morning. They got the groceries that I got and all the other things, and they'd even broken into the glove compartment and stolen the money that I had locked in there. And I'm like, oh, this has not been a very productive day after all. So I thought, well, I'll just go home. And I was kind of feeling sorry for myself. I was frustrated and angry. And so I decided, well, I'll go home, because I didn't have any more money to go shopping again. So I went back, and I was just getting ready to head out of town, and there was a taxi strike. And then I thought, oh, that's why not too many people were joining me today. So I went to the road that led me home, and I just got out of my car, and I talked to the Malagasy people, and I said, hey, would you guys let me go through? I'm I need to pick up my kids from school in a couple hours. And they said, no, we won't. We're striking. We're mad at the government because they keep raising the price of gas and we can't afford it, so we can't run our taxis. So I said, okay, I can appreciate what you're doing. I'll try and find another way home. Well, for 2 hours, I tried to find another way home, and I could not find another way home. Every road was blocked. They were so well organized that they had blocked every road coming in to the Capitol and going out of the Capitol. And so I thought, well, I will stop where I started, and maybe they'll have mercy on me, and they'll let me go through, because this time now it is time for me to pick up my kids. I don't have any time to waste, and there weren't cell phones, so I couldn't call and say, hey, we're not coming now. So I was starting to get a little panic, thinking, how am I going to get to my kids? So I thought, they'll be reasonable. So I went back to the place where I was, and I pulled up, and by this time, they had been striking all day. They are angry and frustrated because they haven't seen results. And so some of that anger, they began to vent on me. They began to hit my car and shake my car and say some very unkind things. And I did what any missionary would do in that situation. I just began to cry. It had been a cruddy day anyway. It was just not fun. And I'm like going, oh, this is just terrible. And I was actually afraid for my life. It was the first time in Madagascar that I was ever afraid for my life. And as I'm sitting there crying, this little tiny Malagasy man comes and taps on my window very gently. Well, that got my attention because it was gently instead of the angry mob that I'd seen. So I cracked my window a little bit. He said to me in perfect English, you better pray, and I'll make sure nothing happens to you or your car. And I remember thinking this in my mind, kind of chuckling, thinking, buddy, you are so small, you couldn't stop anything from happening. But you're right, I better pray. And so I rolled up my window, and I just began to pray. And I don't know how long I was praying, but he at least focused me on the right spot. And within a few minutes, the man literally just went like this. And when he went like that, he was standing beside my car. When he went like that, the crowd literally just parted. I drove through. They're still shaking their fists. They're still angry. I drove through, and then they closed back up their barricade and still shaking their fists and still angry at me. So I drove to a Baptist missionary's house because my husband was out of town at the time, and I was just a mess by this point. And I just got into there, and he comes out and says, hey, how are you doing? And I just burst into tears. He said, oh, not very good. I see. And I just said, can you pick up my kids from school? And his wife brought me in and made me a cup of tea. And as I began to recount what had happened that morning, I realized that God had sent me an angel. And I know that it was an angel, because in that crowd, there would not have been anyone speaking English, especially at that time in Madagascar. And I realized that God had sent me an angel. And I was so thankful for his protection during that day. And I knew that there were people praying. And I thought that when in heaven one day that I was going to hear of someone that was praying for me. But God is so fun. 12 years later, Chuck and I are itinerating in a church in Oshkosh, Wisconsin. And I don't tell this story that often, but I decided that morning it fit into our sermon, and so I shared that story. And after the service, this guy comes up to me, and he literally like runs up to me after the service and says, you are not going to believe this, he said, but I was praying for you. He said, I remember God showed me you in a dream, and he showed me that you were in trouble. He said, I really didn't know what it was. I knew there were people around you, and he said, and I was praying for you. Well, I got tears in my eyes. I gave this guy a big bear hug, and I thought, isn't that so cool that someone in Oshkosh, Wisconsin was praying for me at the very moment, and I didn't find out about it until 12 years later. You see, your prayers make a difference. We often don't think they do. You know, we often pray and think, oh, it really doesn't make a difference. You know, we pray for our family. I've been praying for my brothers I've been a believer now for a long, long time, and I've been praying for them ever since I came to Christ. I've seen my sisters come to Christ, but not my brothers yet. But I continue to pray for them because I believe that our prayers do make a difference. So when God is asking you to pray, just remember that it does make a difference. You are making a difference. And when he wakes you up maybe in the middle of the night and you don't even know why, I've had God do that to me sometimes where I know I'm supposed to pray for something. I don't really know what it is. I'll just begin to pray and just begin to intercede. And then that will lift and I'll go back to sleep. I don't know what I was praying for, but I know in heaven I'm going to find out. I'm going to hear the rest of the story. I'm going to know what it is that God allowed me to participate in on the other side of the world. So just encourage you, when God puts your pastor and family on his heart, or when he puts a missionary on your heart and you really don't know why, begin just to pray, lift him up, a family member, because in heaven, we are going to see how those prayers made a difference. In heaven, we will hear, like Paul Harvey said, and now the rest of the story. We're going to hear the rest of the story, and it will be exciting. Prayer is a powerful tool that God has given us. Prayer makes a difference. Your prayers makes a difference. Sadly, most of us don't fully understand or comprehend what happens when we pray. I know I don't really understand it, but I do know that God is faithful. We often see prayer as our last resort after we've tried everything in our own power. We need to begin to seeing prayer as our first resort, begin to seeing prayer as what really does go into any area, any situation, crosses any barrier, any distance when we pray. Prayer is powerful and effective. That's what Scripture tells us when we ask with the right hearts. So we need to pray for missionaries, more laborers. We need to pray for boldness. We need to pray for the spreading of the gospel. And we need to pray for protection. God hears us when we pray. Let's begin to use this powerful tool that each one of us has been given. Let's just take a moment right now, and I'm just going to have you just bow your heads. And just allow the Holy Spirit to speak to you. Maybe what is it that He wants you to begin to pray more about? As we just take a moment and listen and just ask the Holy Spirit, where do you want me to begin to invest more time in prayer, Lord? Father, I thank you for this church. I thank you for their new church building. God, I believe that you have given them a bigger building, not just so that they can enjoy a bigger building, but so that they can reach more people for your glory. So, Father, I pray that you would begin to help them look upward and outward and see that the fields are ripe right here in Covell and the surrounding communities, that they would begin to see, God, you've blessed us so that we can not only reach out to our community, but we can reach around the world, and that they would begin to pray and to give and to go more than they ever have before to reach this world in a greater way. I just pray blessing on this new season that this church is coming into. And God, that you would expand them and that you would grow them and that you would use them beyond their wildest dreams. We thank you for that, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
Well, Chuck and Wilma, don't leave the stage yet, because as I recall, and it's something that I love sharing, the miracle that you shared is so huge, because I think oftentimes we sell God short, and oftentimes we don't allow him to work. We put him in a little box and keep him contained there. Your story is interesting because you lost your husband. Is that correct? Divorce. Okay. Can you share this? Because we celebrated 4 years of anniversary for you guys. It was really neat how you guys came together. And just briefly, can you let everybody know? Because this is an amazing thing what God has done to bring you two together. And your purpose is, it's astounding. I mean, it really is powerful. So I'm going to give you the mic just one more time, if you'll just share this real quick. I think we need to hear this.
Okay. We'll stop in the basement.
That's why we need to hear this.
As a missionary in the country of Madagascar, my first husband and I, and we had served 3 terms, and my first husband had moral failure, and we were asked to come home from the field. And at that point, I was a very broken woman, wasn't sure what God was going to do with our family, with the missions call on my life, with any of those things. I had a whole lot more questions than I did answers. And sadly, my first husband continued in those poor choices, and we ended up divorcing 2 years later. And so I was a single missionary then. God is so faithful, and he continued to provide opportunities for me. And then it was probably about 10 years from that time until my first husband remarried. God had given me very clear instructions that until he remarried or repented or died, I was to remain single. And so I did. I followed those marching orders. And he remarried about 10 years later. And so then I just continued to serve as a missionary. I was single. I was traveling all over. My girls by this time had gotten into college. And so it was probably about 5 years after that then that the Lord brought Chuck and my path together. And I'll let him share his side of the story.
Yeah, Wilma stopped. No, that's all right. No, I was, I pastored for 36 years, mostly here in Illinois. And my first wife and I were married for just a month short of 41 years. And we did a lot of missions work in South America. And we were on a trip in June of 2014. And we took a team to do an outreach in Lima, Peru. I was asked as part of that outreach to come a couple days earlier so I could train 200 pastors in the city of Huancayo, Peru, to do an outreach to a city of 1 million people. And so we went down to do that, and we drove from Lima to Huancayo, which is about a six-hour drive up to the top of the Andes Mountains and about halfway down the other side. And on that trip, my first wife, Luma Sue, and one of the other ladies on our team became ill. We just assumed it was altitude sickness. We said, we'll get you some medication. You guys just rest at the hotel the first night. The rest of us will go and begin the training. And so that's what we did. We thought that by morning they'd both be fine. The next morning came, the other lady on the team was fine. Sue woke up very dizzy, said, can you help me to get from our hotel bedroom to the bathroom? And so I said, sure. She got up, I'm helping her along. About three steps, had a massive heart attack, collapsed in my arms and died. And so that drastically changed the whole situation. Wilma and I have known each other, well, at that time we'd known each other for over 20 years. She was always the missionary, I was always the pastor. And so her and her first husband, we actually met when they were itinerating to go to Madagascar for their second tour. And so we've known each other for a long time. And the idea of being married never crossed my mind. I thought, well, you know, that was nice, 41 years, that was great. We had a great marriage, we had a great ministry together. That was over now, life goes on. I would just pour myself into my work and ministry and life goes on, never thinking that God would ever lead me into another marriage situation. But obviously God had other plans, and Wilma actually knew about it before I did, because she had some dreams. You want to talk about that? Okay.
Actually, the Lord had given me two dreams. One was about 5 years ago. He told me that I would marry a widower, and I'm like, okay, fine. You know, I was in ministry, I was enjoying traveling and leading teams and stuff, so I wrote that dream down, didn't really think much of it, didn't make a whole lot of sense. You know how dreams are, if any of you, God gives you dreams, you know they have meaning, but they don't always make sense. So I wrote it down, not knowing exactly what it meant. And then about 5 years later, I was leading a team in in Vietnam with a group of young people, and the Lord had given me a second dream, almost identical to the first, but it filled in the blanks of the other. And at this time, Chuck's wife had died, and the Lord made it clear that I was going to marry Chuck, and I'm like, I'm going to marry Chuck? He's a pastor? He's quiet? That's never going to work, you know? It's like, so I just didn't say anything. I just, again, wrote the dream down, put it on the shelf, and said, Lord, if you're going to do this, you're going to have to make it happen. I'm not doing anything to make it happen. And so anyway, God, in his creative ways of doing things, did make it happen, and I gladly said yes when he asked, and it's been a fun journey, and our biggest question was, what's this going to look like, a career pastor and a career missionary? And that's when God birthed this missions cultivators in our heart, is helping to grow and strengthen missions right here in the United States, because we have many churches that are doing very little or nothing for missions, reaching their community or sending missionaries out. And we really felt like, as we looked at that, how could we serve? We were willing to go anywhere in the world, we both said that. But we really felt like God said, this is what I want you to do. I want you to work here at home to help send more missionaries out. So one of the fun things we've been doing is we're actually working with some young missionaries, helping them and mentoring them once a month or every 6 weeks in our home. We have them over, and we are just mentoring them and helping them through the fundraising process. And it's been fun to see, and God's given us the privilege to help launch many missionaries all around the world, just as we just encourage them and walk alongside them during that fundraising process. So it's been fun.
Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for the ministry that Chuck and Wilma bring forth today. And Father, I thank you for the power that you have given them. their ministry continues. Their missions work is being noticed and seen everywhere. It's being felt in our little church. It's being seen all over the world. And I pray today that you will help them to accomplish your great purpose. I pray that you will empower them. And I pray that lives will be changed through them and through the words that they share through your word. Father, I pray that you will put them on a path where they can be the most effective. I pray that you'll keep them safe. I pray that you'll sustain them in their health. And I pray that you will clear more paths that allow their ministry to be seen by many. Father, I thank you for everything that you've done for them. And I thank you for the miracle of bringing them together to literally join forces to make this ministry something that you approve of and that you endorse. Father, we come before you today as this church praying for their help and guidance and mercy, and I pray that you'll continue to watch over them. For every person that's lifted up on our bulletin, every person that's sick and dealing with pain and struggles, I pray that you will strengthen them and help them. I pray that you will give them peace and hope. Chuck and Wilma shared a miracle. They shared their dreams. And Father, we realize that we have seen these before us. I pray that we will never, ever miss the things that you put before us. And I pray that we will praise you when we see them happen to us. Father, I pray today that you will continue to bless and strengthen this church, that we will grow and become disciples. And I pray today that discipleship will be apparent throughout all the people and all the things that we do within this church. Help us to be glued to your word and help us to be serving the world. And I ask this according to your will. We praise you. We thank you for this ministry that they have shared with us today. Now we pray that you will go with them and empower them and help them in all that they do and strengthen us as well in our missions and our ministry. Too. It's in Jesus' holy name that we pray. Amen. God bless both of you. Thank you. All right, folks. Well, we're going to close with a song. We will stand and sing it. Well, at Covell Community Church, we give, we love, and we serve. And Chuck and Wilma, thank you for doing all of those three things for us today. You gave us so much. We feel your love, and we thank you for serving not only our church, but everyone around the world. We are grateful. We feel your mission power. We feel your ministry, and we're grateful to be supporting it. And so today, we're going to have that opportunity. We're going to do a love offering, and we're going to collect funds for Chuck and Wilma because you need this. These gifts, I know, not only are appreciated, but they're needed, and so we want to be able to help you with that as well. So today we will be collecting a love offering on the way out, and we'll meet you at the door. Jillian, I'm going to put you in charge. You are skilled in many ways, but you get to handle both of these things. I'm going to take your cup. You got it? You good? All right. You're drinking water, right? Okay. All right. Okay. So with that said, let's go before the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for Chuck and Wilma, for everything that they're accomplishing. And what they're accomplishing is what you want us to accomplish. And so, Father, I pray that you will help us to find our mission field. I pray that you would help us to cultivate the talents that you put inside of us. And I pray today that you will help us to grow into discipleship, where we will go out and make disciples and teach them to obey all the commands that you've given us. And, Father, I pray that you will strengthen us and help us to grow in the name of Jesus. Father, thank you for this time of worship and learning and growth that you've given us today. Now I pray that you help us to go out and love and give and serve and to do it in your name. And we ask this according to your will. It's in Jesus' holy name that we pray. Amen.